Welcome to the Natural Radio Show. This is your host, Sandra Mendez, and today's date is January 9th, 2021, on a Saturday evening, and tonight's topic is understanding the dynamics of protection. Before I begin the show, I just wanted to thank all my listeners for taking the time out for listening to the show and those who have donated to Natural Blog Talk Radio. I wanted to say thank you so much for your donations, and it's very much appreciated. In addition to those who may have a birthday within this month of January, I wanted to wish you all a happy birthday, and that, you know, that you have many more days or many more years, excuse me, to come and be able to enjoy each year as it come, and have a New Year's resolution that you can actually focus on and be able to be disciplined and follow through. And that's just for everyone in general. But once again, happy birthday to those who have a birthday in this month. And I hope that you enjoy on today. Okay, so once again, tonight's topic is going to be about understanding the dynamics of projection. And what I basically wanted to talk about was basically projection linked to a person's behavior and how they view and perceive certain things, whether they interacting with someone or basically how they feel about something, and how they can take those thoughts and be able to project it onto someone else. So I just wanted to just give a brief analysis and view on it and have people get some ideas and look at things a certain way, whether you're doing a self-evaluation about yourself, whether you realize that you do projection to other people, or you notice that other people do it to you. Okay, so what is projection? Okay, so according to healthline.com, it's when you unconsciously using an emotion or trait to project onto someone else. Okay, another thing that it says you don't like, whatever you don't like about yourself, or whatever it is that you're not settled within yourself about, usually those feelings, that emotions, you attribute it to someone else. So instead of saying to yourself, you know what, I got an issue here that I need to resolve, you will actually find the problem in another person or group of people, rather than being able to take a step back and say, you know what, maybe I need to get myself together, or maybe I'm bugging a little bit. Let me just, you know, try to like work things out a little bit, you know. So that's just a prime example. Another example would be a cheating spouse. This is a perfect example, even though I'm going to also share other examples of projection, but I wanted to highlight that a cheating spouse is someone who suspects their partner is being unfaithful. But we know how that goes. Whereas if you're in a relationship and someone is accusing you of, you know, seeing someone else or having an affair, knowing that the person is not doing it, but it's the person who's accusing the person of seeing other people that's doing the offense, whatever the case might be, that's jeopardizing the relationship, that would be considered an act of projection, okay? And it's also a mechanism of having a guilty conscience, okay? So that clears up that air of how people attributed their emotions or whatever it is that they're doing onto someone else, you know. And I'm pretty sure people that's in relationships like that, and they have a spouse or a person that they with accusing them of doing stuff that they are not doing, it makes a person kind of like bug out a little bit. And then, you know, you realize all this time that it's the other person that's actually doing all of the action and cheating or whatever the case might be. And like I said, it's a guilty conscience of the person, and it's something that they're not settled with or being able to deal with within internally, because they know it's wrong, but they still do it anyway. So because they feel bad about what they're doing or whatever the case might be, they feel that their spouse or the person that they with are actually doing the same thing that they're doing, when in fact they're not. Okay? Even though I just repeated myself, but just trying to highlight it in its entirety, that, you know, like I remember my mother telling me, her mother said, you know, to her, that anytime somebody's accusing you of something, you know that you're not doing, 9 times out of 10, it's the person that's actually doing whatever they're accusing you of. So I just thought that was something to just highlight, and I think that's why I keep reiterating it the way that I am, but I don't mean to be so repetitive. Another factor would be a projection is natural instincts and behavior of self-defense. It's the need for projection is for avoidance, like I said, and also when a person has a guilty conscience about something, they know that is wrong, and they want to project it onto someone else. Having negative behavior or qualities, you know, they want to be able, people who are projectors, you know, have negative behavior and qualities, and they try to project that onto others people, because when they try to find a reason to accuse someone of having a negative behavior or quality, it usually brings them into a comfort zone when they're able to do the blame game on other people. So once again, that's a act of projection, and that's what projection is. So I'm gonna take a little break, and I'll be right back, and we're gonna go into why do people project more in depth. Okay, and we are back. So I wanted to talk about why do people project. Okay, so one of the things that I've been seeing from the beginning of the show is that it's the number one reason is defensive behavior and partially having a guilty conscience about something that they're doing wrong. But having a defensive behavior, whereas they trying to protect whatever mishap or misconception or perception that they have about a particular situation or person, they trying to protect it to where they know that they have those internal feelings or doubts or whatever the case might be all bottled up within themselves. And then they try to, you know, protect those feelings and then project it out onto other people. So it's a sense of comfort when they're able to either blame someone else or project onto other people what they're feeling inside. Or, you know, sometimes, you know how when you're in a conversation with someone and the person just talking, and they telling you how you feel about a certain situation, and you like, I don't feel that way. So what do you mean? Sometimes people that are projectors, they do that as well too. They try to explain other people's emotions rather than using careful words such as, okay, if somebody's upset and you perceive the person to be upset, you can say, you know what, it seems like you are upset. Maybe I need to get clarity on whether you are, or whatever the case might be, opposed to just totally affirm that the person is upset, because maybe the person just have an expression that looks as though that they are upset about something, but they really not upset. So instead of the people who are projectors internalizing that emotion and saying to yourself, you know what, maybe this person is mad at me or upset at me because of XYZ, or coming up with all of these assumptions and all of these ideas, which is not, you know, even, you know, what the person is actually experiencing or going through. So, like I said, if you're speaking to someone and you feel as though the person is upset, or you could just, like I said, or you could just simply say, you know, it sounds like to me that you are upset and, you know, I just wanted to, you know, get clarity, or whatever the case might be, opposed to overthinking and trying to think for that person. That technique is for, like, once again, for those who are projectors, okay? Don't internalize the situation. First, seek clarity first from the person, say whatever it is, and then go on to the next step. Because if you assume that a person feels a certain way or a situation is just as though how you assume it to be, you know, you could be very wrong. And, you know, and based off of how you perceive certain things, and then from that perception or whatever you have on that particular, you know, thing that you experience, whether it's a situation or interaction with the person, it conflicts with this thing called cognitive behavior, whereas it starts to affect your behavior as a person. Maybe you might withdraw from the person, or you may not want to talk to them, or maybe at times you might develop a dislike for the person, all because you did not seek clarity on that one little situation. Okay, so being that, you know, being that we all misunderstand certain things, we have misperceptions of people and situations, it's always good as a person and being a well-rounded person is to get clarity, clear the air, and make sure you understand everything in its entirety, opposed to just assuming. Like my mom always say, people who assume make a boo-boo out of themselves. I don't want to say, you know, you know, as we all know, ASSS out of themselves, and we don't want that. So it's better to be clear, and it's better to be in the know rather than, you know, assuming things and overthinking things that's just not so. Okay, so like I said, projection is a defensive behavior for people to protect their emotions. Sometimes people just feel so entitled to their emotions and what they feel. Person look upset and mad, going back to that scenario, oh, that person is angry, so that person may not like me. And you internalize that person don't like me, and then from that one little thought, it leads into a big major thing that's a misconception, misunderstanding. But people will defend that feeling of that person don't like me when that person is not thinking that, you know. And at the end of the day, it affects relationships when people are projectors. Okay, the second thing that they do, projection from painful and negative experience. People do that as well too. So let's say if a person who's a projector, once again, who have been hurt in a relationship, and let's say it's a woman, because we all know women tend to get their hearts broken just as much as a man is easily to get his heart broken or whatever the case might be for whatever reason. No, this is not an emotional thing, you know, or, you know, emotional rendezvous or whatever the case might be. It's not that, but it's just to highlight how people go through painful experiences, disappointments, and that affects their relationship and how they interact with other people when it shouldn't. So my whole thing is this, going back to the woman with a broken heart who's been through a bad experience. She may have been in an abusive relationship, whether it's emotionally or physically, or it could be a number of ways a woman could have been emotionally abused, physically, emotionally, mentally. Okay, those are the three main things of how anyone could be abused in a relationship. So as an effect of that, if that woman does not go through a healing process, assess everything or whatever the case might be, and not internalize it to where she say, you know, it's my fault. 9 times out of 10, it's not your fault that someone else treats you the way that they have treated you. The only thing that you have to take accountability in those situations is that you allowed it. You allowed it as a woman or as a man. You allowed it. That's the only accountability that you have to take in anything that you do. Is it your fault because you didn't take accountability? Yes, it's your fault. Yes, it's your fault for not taking accountability, because you not taking accountability of not allowing it because of fear has caused this to go on. Okay, but on the contrary, if you didn't allow this, for whatever reason, you didn't allow it, and you didn't allow it to go on or allow a person to mentally, physically, emotionally abuse you, then that person would not have, you know, have drawn the line with you. Okay, so no, I'm not trying to contradict myself and say, oh, yes, it is your fault. No, initially, people have mental issues. Okay, people who abuse other people 9 times out of 10 do have a mental issue. Something is wrong with them. Okay, and for whatever reason, you know, they might inflict harm onto someone, whatever the case might be. It's not your fault as a result of their behavior. Okay, why they do what they do, that's not your fault. Okay, so what I'm saying to you is that in any situation, you have to take responsibility and accountability to a degree. Okay, and all it relies in is you allowing this mishap to take place and to happen when you could have put a stop to it. Okay, a lot of times, and I don't mean to deviate from this topic on tonight, but a lot of times you have women go back to relationships repeatedly, knowing that it's no good for them. But the thing about that, and I want women and men to understand this very carefully, when women keep going back and keep going back, it's not because they don't realize what is wrong, because they definitely realize what is wrong. What it is is that experience is becoming like a collage of something that's going to be a blueprint in her life. Because is it saying once she has had enough or whatever the situation is, that is it. That woman is actually done. When she gets over that dark cloud or whatever, that dark energy in her life, and she move on from that man, whether it's her husband or a relationship or whatever the case might be, she will never go back to that person ever again. The relationship will never ever be the same again. So in other words, what I'm saying is that that woman would deplete her love for that person, that man, or whatever the case might be. She will deplete anything that she had developed over time for this guy. So it's like he's deteriorating and breaking down all of those, you know, things that like that could have been, you know, blossomed or whatever the case might be. So it's like, it's almost like it becomes a tolerable thing to a degree with this woman until she's done with it. She has enough and she leave that. She will leave that part of her life in the past and will never ever return. vice versa with men. When men find out that women are not as faithful and that they have a degree of disloyalty to them, men will immediately, it don't take time for men to tolerate certain things from women. They will immediately leave the woman alone and go about their business because they know that that woman is expendable. Okay, so this is why they don't waste their time on women or whatever the case might be. Now, for those men who are fearful of women that they are in relationship with and dealing with abuse, that's something totally different. But for the men that have some type of means and morale to themselves, they will leave that woman alone. And no matter how much she's able to manipulate him or whatever she's able to do or whatever the case might be, sometimes, you know, the guy will dibble and dabble with that woman, you know, but it would just be to an extent and that's that. But once a man, when a man not fall in love, but when he loves someone, it could be his wife or it could be his woman or whatever the case might be, and he realized that she's disloyal, doesn't matter the amount of years he invested in a relationship with her, what he has done or whatever the case might be, he's going to leave her alone, period. And wouldn't even think about returning back to her or rekindling anything or whatever the case might be. And that's a sudden thing. The minute he finds out she's cheating, he doesn't want to talk about it. He doesn't want to discuss anything. That's that. So you see, women, there's a difference. The man would not allow a woman that's disloyal to him or, you know, who does not have any morale as a woman, he would not allow it to go on. He wouldn't allow it to go on because he know he has a sense of power in what he allows and what he doesn't allow. It's just you as a woman, you have to know your power and know that, okay, it's what you allow. If you allow this man to take advantage of you, if you allow this man to abuse you, if you allow him to do these things, you're giving your power away to, you know, allow him to do whatever he wants to do when that's your power. Okay, your power is to not allow mistreatment or to allow, you know, any types of madness to go on in your life as a woman. Okay, so this is just trying to bring things into perspective to kind of deviate from projecting onto other people. And I went through this whole little journey just to come back, well, this whole little circle, just to come back to the fact that, you know what, when it comes down to projection, you know, usually people that have been in bad relationships, they use that as a rubric for the next relationship that they are in. And I just think that is so not fair. It's not fair because if you meet someone new and you know that you had a past, you know it's your responsibility. And once again, you have to take accountability for healing yourself and understand and taking an assessment of what you want from what you don't want. That is your responsibility and your accountability as a woman, as a man, to do those things before you go into the next relationship. You want to make sure that you are clear of baggages before you go into a fresh and new relationship. Because a lot of times when you go into one relationship into another with baggages, you know, you are prone to project, okay? You are prone to think that when a certain situation seems like a previous experience that you've gone through, you start to project, okay? And that can affect relationships that you have with people, and that's not good, okay? So the number three thing that I was going to say of why do people project is because they avoid responsibilities of one own, of their own use, their issues and things of that sort. They avoid it. And you can't do that. Okay? So like I said, you can have the best relationship or whatever the case might be, but because you keep thinking about your past experience, it may affect your current relationship. And the person might think that you're bugged out, you know, you're damaged beyond repair, they don't want to deal with you, and they just move on with their lives. Just simply like that. So, another factor would be that, you know, people that are projectors are non-committal. They're non-committal. They don't like to really commit to anything, okay? And as a result of not committing to anything, you know, it's almost as if, you know, it goes back to the lack of responsibility and accountability on their behalf. They don't want to face reality, which is the issue. Okay. And then last but not least of why people project is the lack of accountability because of lack of ownership. You know, some people don't like to take full ownership of what they do or how they do it. And usually they like to blame other people or they like to put the responsibility on other people rather than owning what they do in its entirety. Okay, so now that I talked about why do people project, I'm gonna give some examples, some more juicy examples of how people project. So with that said, we're gonna take a little break. Okay, so we are back. Okay, so now I'm gonna give some little examples of how people project. So I talked about the cheating spouse and how they are projectors. Okay, so I'm gonna start with one that I actually put together, and it's called the movie role. So let's say Mary and Sue both applied to an acting role for a new movie production. Mary was selected for the role. Meanwhile, Sue was upset, but internally, and thought to herself, Mary is much prettier and smarter. That's why she was chosen as a result. So Sue becomes insecure and becomes withdrawn from Mary. Okay, so when Mary asks or wonder why Sue seems so distant, Sue will say this, something like this. You're a superstar and I'm not. Basically, she's insinuating that Mary is better than her. Okay, and that can be a form of projecting. Okay, because here it is, you know, Sue could not internalize whatever feeling that she had or whatever, you know, selection as far as them being chosen for the role. Instead of her being upset, she should have had looked at it like, okay, my friend had the opportunity to get the role, so let me help her. Let me, you know, learn more, you know, let me see, you know, how things go, because maybe next time around, maybe I'll get the role. But instead of doing that, she gets upset. She internalizes it, once again, highlighting that she's internalizing it. And now she's thinking to herself, overthinking that, oh, okay, well, maybe because Mary's prettier than me, or maybe it's because she's smarter than me. Having all of these thoughts could lead to her just projecting, you know, off of her insecurities. Okay, so she's feeling insecure about herself and will make certain comments like, you're a superstar and I'm not, you know, basically showing that she's insecure when Mary wonders why she's acting distant or withdrawn from her. Okay, so that's a form of projection. Okay, and that was my little thing that I came up with. Another example, dinner date. Let's say a person, you and a person having a dialogue, and here it is, the person is just talking. And sometimes you try to chime in every now and then, but they still talk. And when you try to chime in again, they raise their voice a little bit more because they don't want you to get nothing in. So when you keep, they keep talking, they keep talking, talking, talking. I'm just being a little comical right now. But when you're not able to have an exchange or engage in conversation, is one-sided. So when you do say something, the person might accuse you of not listening. When they not allowing you to either get clarity on something that they said or be able to go back and forth in communication. So a lot of times, projectors, they don't really listen to understand the other person. They only listen to respond rather than listen to understand the person. So usually sometimes, and it gets lost in translation, when a person is just constantly talking and not allowing the other person to talk and get their view, give their view in its entirety on something, opposed to a person taking charge of the conversation and it's not going anywhere. Okay, now don't get me wrong, when people have issues or going through things, sometimes they just want the person to listen, they don't really want the person to project. But when you're having a general conversation, or when you're speaking about an issue or a problem, you want it to be a back and forth in order to understand its entirety, and you want to have respect for both persons, but both people's view, okay, and not disregard a person's, you know, view about something, or their, you know, suggestions, or whatever the case might be, or whatever they contributed to the conversation. You don't want to disregard it. You want to take it into consideration. That's what communication is all about. When people just talk just to get a frustration out or just to get a point of view out, that's not communicating, okay? Because 9 times out of 10, the person just want to talk just to hear themselves talk. That's it. And that's not effective communication. Okay, so advocating. Okay, so let's say a coworker has an idea about something. Okay, so they have an idea about something, and I forgot how this thing go. Okay, so you know what? Because I'm kind of like, I can't recall this example and for a situation, I'm gonna go with the boss's inadequacies. Okay, so I think I gave good, clear examples of what projection is like. It's just this one I forgot, you know, in detail about advocating and the coworker's ideas and things of that sort. So, let's go with bosses and inadequacies. Okay, so let's say you have projects going on, and you have your boss. You know, they always come and then they leave the conversation or whatever the case might be. They leave the meeting all the time. And then here it is, let's say you come in late or whatever the case might be. They start to accuse you of always coming in late when that was just the one time you either came in late or whatever the case might be. So that's the boss, you know, projecting their thoughts on you. Or in this scenario, now that I can recall it, let's say you've been putting in long hours on a project and your boss always left, always standing and leaving, but not really engaging into the project, but you putting in hours. And once it comes to the table that you've been putting in all these hours, they accuse you of not really being a participant in the project or whatever the case might be. So sometimes that can happen as well too, as far as like a boss or someone projecting their inadequacies or fallibilities onto their employee. Okay, so now that I talked about the examples of projections, I'm going to go into what are some ways to stop projecting. Okay, so if you are a projector, okay, one of the main things that you want to do is do a soul search from within. Okay, understand yourself. Understand how you feel from what you feel. Okay, how you feel from what you feel. So you could be feeling sad initially. Okay, that's how you feel. But what you feel is that, okay, I have to put on a smile. I have to show everybody else that I'm happy when I'm really sad inside. So how you feel, I'm sad. But what I feel is that I have to pretend and smile and act like I'm happy for everybody else or happy with a situation when I'm not. So now when somebody else comes to me and they're not talkative and they're not saying anything, I might start to project my thoughts. And I'm just giving an example. I might project my thoughts, meaning, oh, because I see this person is not talking or this person is quiet, I might say, oh, are you sad? What's going on? Are you okay? And this person may not feel sad, but because you feel sad, you projecting your thoughts onto that person. Now, vice versa, when a person is upset, you upset and angry about something. That's how you feel. But what you feel is that, you know what? I got to deal with this situation, mature, or whatever the case might be. But the minute somebody else come along and they try to be helpful or whatever the case might be, you will start to take your frustration out on the person. And this is called misdirected anger. And the person may not have done nothing to you at all. They may not have done nothing to you. And they're just trying to be helpful rather than hurtful. And because you lash out on them, because of you feeling angry inside, you know, it can cause a conflict with that person because you projected your anger onto a person, which again is misdirected anger towards that person. Okay, so that's not cool. Okay, it's not cool. So this is why you got to understand what you feel from how you feel. And what you feel, if you need time to yourself to assess those emotions and to get through those emotions, whether you exercise, you write, or you do something creative to get your mind off of that, to rechannel that energy, do it. Okay, because you want to make sure what you feel and how you feel merges with each other as one. Okay, so another factor would be acknowledge one's own feelings, as I said before. Take ownership of your feelings. That's a number one factor. You gotta own how you feel. Don't pretend and act as if you are not upset, you are not sad, when in fact you feel it. Okay, so feeling it is when, you know, you go in a corner, you may cry because you're sad or you feel, you know, out of place or out of alignment, and you do that by yourself, but you're not really going through a healing process. It's just you just trying to, you know, assess the feeling, or you just trying to purge whatever it is that you're feeling, but you're not really healing. Okay, when you do it in secret. Okay, or when you're upset about something and you upset, you either throwing things around but nobody see it, but you're going through this because of what you feel. So when you go and you feeling these emotions and then you go and interact with other people to acting like everything is all calm and cool and collective, yes, it's maturity, but it's not healthy emotionally. It's not healthy emotionally. If you're going through something emotionally, you don't deal with those emotions accordingly, then you're not, at times, it might come out through your behavior or whatever you do as irrational or don't make sense, or you might become so drained that you may not be able to interact with people sufficiently. Okay, and that's not good. Okay, another factor is to bring thoughts and feelings and perceptions into consideration. Always do that. Bring your thoughts, your feelings, and how you perceive something in consideration. Once again, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Take accountability. Take a responsibility for your thoughts, Get clarity if you don't know something in its entirety. Okay? Understand your feelings. Understand why you feel what you feel. Okay? What's triggering you? Or how is this impacting you, your feelings, or your mental health? You know, because when you're not right emotionally, it affects your mental health eventually. Okay? And then as an effect of it affecting your health, mentally, it just starts to show up on you physically. Okay, you may not pay much attention to your hair, may not brush your teeth, you know, just normal hygiene will start to deteriorate because you have not dealt with your emotions, your mental health, your emotional health, your mental health, and physical health. Okay, so these things are so important. Okay, you have to reason with yourself and resolve. Reason with yourself. The reason why I feel sad, what triggered you? Because XYZ did so and so, and I didn't like that. Okay, so therefore, if you didn't like that and it caused you or triggered you to be feel sad, you need to bring it to this person's attention. Okay, so you bring it to this attention, the person's attention. When you did this the other day, XYZ, whatever the case might be, this made me feel sad. Or when you said XYZ, it made me think otherwise, whatever, and it made me feel sad. It's okay. You are entitled to express how you feel. If it's something linked to your emotional health, it's okay to bring it to the person's attention if they did something to you that, you know, you did not agree with. Okay, so when you're able to talk it out and you let that person know how you felt, you give that person the opportunity or a chance to clarify whatever it is, so that way you can move from out of that emotion to where it does not impact your mental health. Okay, so now let's say you tell the person how you feel, but it goes through one ear and out the other. Now you already did your part in taking accountability and responsibility and letting that person know how you felt. Okay, and you let them know you're not trying to be, you know, whiny or whatever the case might be. You know, you bring clarity to that. But if they don't respect it and they do the same exact thing over again, that means that you have to take action on how you interact with that person now moving forward. Okay, because how you interact with them, you know that you told this person one time. You told this person two times. It's not an issue with you. It's an issue with the other person. There's a defect with the person. It's not an issue with you. Okay? So, as a result of you getting out of that projectory mode, what you have to do is you got to limit how much you interact with that person. You know that there's a limit, a boundary that you got to put up with that person, and you are entitled to that. Okay, you are entitled to set boundaries with people who do not respect you or respect how you feel about certain things. Okay, there's no amount of power that a person can have over you that you don't give away. Okay, so it's okay to express yourself, but express yourself with logic and clarity. Okay, so that's my thoughts on that, and that's how you become to a resolve with any emotions or issues that you are facing or going through from within. Just like, for example, when I use the example of the movie role with Marion Sue, you know, instead of her feeling the way that she felt, she could have reasoned with, okay, why do I feel upset? Okay, she's upset because she didn't get chosen for the role. Okay. But now what can you do next? Okay, support your friend Mary. Support her. Be happy for her. Try to learn certain things, you know, as far as in a role, and then reapply again. That's how you come to a resolve, a resolution with any internal conflict that you feel to avoid projection. Okay, another factor would be, do not shift the blame on others. Going back to relationships, the cheating spouse. Do not get suspicious of your spouse, if you know that you are cheating, you know you're not doing right by your wife or your husband, don't, as a result, project on them as they're doing it, because that's a good indicator that you're the one who's doing it. Especially for anyone who listened to my show on tonight, they will know that it's a trajectory, because they know that they're not doing anything, but if you accusing them, trying to find something that they doing or whatever so it could clear your conscience, is not good. The best thing, buddy, or the best thing, boo-boo, is to leave the relationship. Don't continue to lie to yourself. If you know you're not satisfied with this person, do not continue to prolong the relationship. Let it end. Let it end and take your losses. If you feel that you have to, you know, be with somebody else, you can't be committed, you're non-committal, or whatever the case might be, you can't be committed to a relationship, then leave. Stay single. Why be in a relationship and go and do wrong? Why? Why? Doesn't make sense. So, as a result, just generally, people, do not shift the blame on other people. Take accountability, take responsibility for everything and anything that you do. Thank you for listening on tonight's show. I hope that you were able to learn something on how people project through their behavior and how it can also impact, you know, their cognitive behavior as well. So thank you once again, and you all have a wonderful evening.